This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The Senate will come to order. Good morning. Leading us in prayer this morning is Reverend Paul Bly of the Pier Fort Pier Ministerial Association. Following the prayer, we'll be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by the page of the day, Caitlin Foreman of Pier.
Let us pray. O most holy and almighty God, it's been quite a session, O God, and we give you thanks for walking with the servants through it all. In this next to the last day, we ask that you continue to bless these senators with clear thought, deep wisdom, courageous integrity, and a spirit of cooperation and patience. Bless the governor as well as he considers the bills coming to his desk. We give you thanks for all of your blessings, but especially for those people who make this system of governing work. Keep all our families safe and our own travels home safe as well. In your holy name as we pray. Amen.
The Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Abdallah, Adelstein, Eilers, Bartling, Bradford, Brown, Dempster, Frisley, Gantt, Garnos, Gillespie, Gray, Hanson, Tom Hanson, Gary, Haverly, Heideprim, Howey, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Jersted, Klochek, Knutson, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Nordstrup, Olson, Peterson, Roden, Schmidt, Tees, and Turbeck, Berry, Valley. There is a quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 38th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Is there a second? The motion is to approve the journal. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Members of the Senate, the following bills have passed both houses of the legislature, and I'm signing them in your presence. House Bill 1153, an act to revise the elements of the crime of indecent exposure involving a child, to revise the elements of the crime of indecent exposure, and to establish the crime of private indecent exposure. And also House Bill 1254, an act to exclude any federal stimulus funds in a school district's general fund when determining its allowable general fund balance. We'll move now to reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that Senate Bills 106 and 117 were delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 10:30 a.m., March 13, 2009. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that Senate Bills 4, 33, 36, 37, 50, 68, 74, 78, 80, 115, 144, 147, 165, 184, and 186 were delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 4:45 p.m., March 12, 2009. Bob Gray, Chair. Reports of conference committees. Mr. President, the conference committee respectfully reports that it has considered Senate Bill 42 and the amendments thereto made by the House on the disagreement of the two houses thereon, and recommends that Senate Bill 42 be amended as follows. 42FG. Respectfully submitted, Christy Noem, House Chair. Tom Hanson, Senate Chair. Also, Mr. President, the conference committee respectfully reports that it has considered Senate Bill 153 and the amendments thereto made by the House and the disagreements of the two houses thereon, and recommends that the Senate do not concur with the House amendments to Senate Bill 153 and do not appoint a new committee. Respectfully submitted, Joni Cutler, House Chair, Thomas Dempster, Senate Chair.
Messages from the House?
We have none.
We have no messages from the House. Mr. Leader, we're prepared to recess if that's your wish. Yes.
At this time, I would move we recess until 11:45.
Second. Moved and seconded to recess until 1:45. Any remarks?
11.
I'm sorry, 11:45.
11:45.
Any remarks? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carried. Any announcements?
Republican caucus immediately.
Further announcements?
Mr. President,
yes.
Democrats will caucus right away, too.
All right, we're in recess until 11:45.
I have copies of that one committee report.
The Senate, please join Senator Klochek and Senators Klocek and Howey, and welcome to the Senate gallery Phil Arsenault and Charles Arsenault of Hot Springs and Custer, respectively. They are the father and husband, respectively, of Sandy Arsenault, the South Dakota Education Association president. They're right up here. Welcome to both of you. Also, Senator Garnos asked we welcome to the Senate gallery from Getty, South Dakota, Melissa Kriz and children, Zachary, Rachel, and Jacob. They are the daughter, Melissa is the daughter, and the children are the grandchildren of our Sergeant-at-Arms, Dave Bondi, and his wife, Linda. And they are here also celebrating Rachel's 13th birthday, which is next week. So welcome to you. Be at ease for just a minute. Communications and petitions.
Mr. President and members of the Senate, I have the honor to inform you that on March 12, 2009, I approved Senate Bills 332, 55, 70, 90, 100, 108, 131, 132, 143, 148, 151, 155, 159, 202, 140, 158, 160, 164, 173, and 190. And the same have been deposited in the office of the Secretary of State. Respectfully submitted, M. Michael Rounds, Governor. I read. Combined them.
Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of the Conference Committee on House Bill 1079. Respectfully, Karen Gerdes, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions.
Mr. President.
Senator Dempster.
If we could be at ease for, one half second. Senator Garnas.
Mr. President.
Senator Garnas.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is my honor to introduce our interns, who we all know here, and say a short couple good words about them. Will Mortensen, Jenna
Let's
Mann,
ask all the interns to come forward. Senator Garnas.
Thank you, Mr.
Floor.
President. I think Senator Merchant is going to have a couple words to say, too.
Right,
but on behalf of the Senate Republicans and all of the Senate, I want to personally thank Will Mortensen, Jenna Mann, Peter Lemke, Kevin King, Jacob Hammack, and Jordan Fink. Once again, on behalf of all of us, thank you very much for your hard work, your dedication, and your commitment to the Senate and the state of South Dakota. You play a great role for us. You're very vital. It's very important. Your research, covering committees, running errands for us, going to get water for Senator Abdallah. Number three, we're proud of you. We're proud to be associated with you. For that, we are much better. And finally, I'm always encouraged to see young people like yourself because I know what the future of South Dakota is. The future of South Dakota is you. Whether you're Senate, whether you're on the Senate, the House side, Republican, Democrat, you're great young people, and I couldn't be prouder to have this opportunity. So once again, congratulations. We thank you wholeheartedly, the Senate Republicans, the Senate Democrats.
Senator Merchant.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. I, too, want to thank these lovely young people for giving their time and energy to us. I want to make note that I actually have two classmates, which they're on the Republican side, but we have Jordan and Jenna that I attended class with them, political philosophy, last fall. And I also want to make note of that I also share with them their enthusiasm for being an intern, because I will be receiving internship credits when I return back to Brookings. But I want to make note of the four delightful young ladies that we have had the privilege to work with in the Democrat caucus. We have Brittany Jenks, Jiang Park, Carrie Johnson, and Jenna Smeek. And I want to thank them for all of their hard work. It's been wonderful. And I especially, as a new person here, their wonderful smiles, their good cheer helped me a great deal. And I spent a significant amount of time with them socializing, going to movies, going out to eat. I just thought it was very important to nurture that relationship, because I'm very keen on the fact that we need to nurture our young people in service. And I know that with their high character and high regard for our institution and our processes, they are going to go on to great things. So we will miss you. We thank you for all the time that you've spent with us.
We'll continue now with motions and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 1020, a concurrent resolution opposing federal control of state water rights through unnecessary expansion of the Federal Clean Water Act. Senator Maher moves that the Senate do now concur in House Concurrent Resolution 1020, as found on page 779 of the House Journal.
The motion again was to concur, not concur. To concur. Senator Maher, you have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, this resolution comes before us as the federal government has revised the Clean Water Restoration Act and is intended to make extreme changes to the Clean Water Act that has threatened to destroy the careful intergovernment balance that has been the hallmark of the law during its long history. This legislation would give the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers the authority over all interstate and intrastate waters and their tributaries, including non-navigable waters, granting the Congress to the authority far beyond the original scope of this legislation. This would dramatically expand the reach of the federal bureaucracy and would fundamentally erode the ability of the states and local governments to manage their own water resources. Currently, the feds have control over our navigable waters. This resolution would help prevent them from taking over authority of our non-navigable waters, and this needs to be left at our state level. And with this, we ask for a favorable passage of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Senator Olson.
Question for the sponsor.
State your question.
Senator Maher, is this similar in verbiage and intent as SCR 8 of last year?
I guess I am, Mr. President.
Senator Maher, do you wish to respond?
I am not familiar with SCR 8 of last year, but I could look quick if you would like. I'm not familiar with it.
Can any member answer Senator Olson's question? Senator Olson, you still have the floor if you wish it.
I haven't read back exactly through the language on SCR 8 of last year, but if this sounds to me like it's the kissing cousin of that bill, and I would just say that it hasn't really hit the radar of any of the conservation groups or any of the sportsmen's groups that I belong to and certainly represent, so I guess I'm going to vote no, because I think that it's very close in nature to some language that we've tried to see that we saw last year that I think would have an adverse effect on sportsmen throughout South Dakota.
Further remarks? Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. Well, I recall the resolution from last year. I was the House prime on that resolution with Senator McNinney, and I don't recall the exact verbiage. But what we have in front of us, I think I've read this resolution, and you can read the first sentence, a current concurrent resolution opposing federal control of state water rights through unnecessary expansion of the Federal Clean Water Act. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that's very reasonable and straightforward, and I honestly can't see why any hunting group would oppose this language. We are simply saying that there are some very dangerous waters ahead if the federal government continues to want to take more and more of the rights away from the states to dictate their own futures, and the Clean Water Act has some very dangerous implications, so I would urge your support of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question then being Senator Maher's motion that the Senate do concur in HCR 1020. As your name is called, those in favor of concurrence say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah? No. Adelstein? No. Ahlers? No. Bartling? No. Bradford? No. Brown? No. Dempster? No. Brisley? No. Dant? No. Garnos? No. Gillespie? No. Gray? Hanson Tom? No. Hanson Gary? Aye. Haverly? No. Heideprim? No. Howie? Aye. Hunstead? Hunhoff? Durstead? Hochek? Knudsen? No. Maher? Aye. Merchant? No. Miles? Aye. Nelson? No. Nesselhoff? No. Nordstrup? Aye. Olson? Peterson, Roden, Schmidt, Thiessen, Trebek-Berry, Valley, Senator Adelstein, Senator Adelstein, Senator Brown, Senator Gray, Senator Klocek.
Mr. President, there are 15 ayes, 19 nays, one excused.
So the motion has failed to receive an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect. The motion is lost, and the Senate does not concur in HCR 1020. Consideration of reports of committees.
Senator Tom Hansen moves that the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 42, as found in the Senate Journal of the 39th Legislative Day, be adopted.
Is there a second? Is there a second? Remarks on that motion. Senator Tom Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. Remember that this is the bill that started out, it's had kind of a long history to reinstate the collection of sales tax on small mini storage warehousing units. The Supreme Court had determined that the state could not properly be collecting sales tax on those units, and as a result, the bill was changed to significantly changed, provide a mechanism for the refund of those improperly corrected sales taxes. Those taxes have to be filed through the owner of the facility. However, after that process had taken place, it was observed on the part of some of those property owners, the storage unit owners, that while there was a termination date for filing of the application for refund on the part of the individual as far as liability of state government, which was established at October 1st, there was really no provision for discharging any future liability against the property owner. So the bill was sent back to conference committee and amended to address that deficiency. And this is supported by the South Dakota retailers, by the members of the storage industry, passed the committee by on a 6-0 vote. So I would ask that you concur with the findings of the conference committee. Thank you.
Further remarks on the motion to adopt the conference committee report? Senator Gant.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think the body should also keep in mind that the Department of Revenue made it very clear during the conference committee that they will begin advertising to the general public as soon as the governor signs this bill, that for those individuals over the past years who have used a storage unit, on what the procedure is going to be for how they can apply for these refunds and then get those refunds in their pocket. That was a very important statement because we're only giving the public about 6 months to get this done. So with their advertising, this should help ensure that the people who paid this tax will get it back. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Seeing none, the question is Senator Tom Hansen's motion that the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 42 be adopted. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call a roll.
Senator Abdullah? Aye. Adelstein? Ollers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
No.
Brown?
No.
Dempster?
Aye.
Brisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray? Hanson Tom?
Aye.
Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Averly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
Aye.
Howie? Hunstead?
Aye.
Funhoff? Gerstead, Pocheck, Knutson, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Nordstrup, Olson, Peterson, Roden, Schmidt, Thiessen, Trebekberry, Valley. Mr. President, there are 32 ayes, 2 nays, 1 excused.
So the motion has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members-elect. The motion is carried, and the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 42 is adopted.
Senator Dempster moves that the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 153, as found in the Senate Journal of the 39th Legislative Day, be adopted.
Is there a second? Remarks on that motion? Senator Dempster.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. Conference Committee on Senate Bill 153 met. We voted. We were stymied. We voted again. We were stymied. We voted again. We were stymied. We voted again. We were stymied. We voted again, and we were stymied. We recessed. The sponsor of Senate Bill 153 then, in a gracious manner, came back to the committee. Her motion, Senator Gerstead, was to do not concur, do not reappoint. I would urge you to agree with that committee report.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Seeing none, the question being on Senator Dempster's motion that the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 153 be adopted. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah?
Aye.
Adelstein? Ollers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
No.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster? Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray? Hanson Tom, Hanson Gary,
aye.
Haverly,
aye.
Heideprim,
aye.
Howie, Hunstead,
aye.
Hunhoff,
aye.
Gerstead, Pocheck, Knutson,
aye.
Maher, Merchant,
aye.
Miles,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nesselhoff,
aye.
Nordstrup,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson, Roden,
aye.
Schmidt, Thiessen, Trebekberry, Valley. Mr. President, there are 33 ayes, 1 nay, 1 excused.
Senate Bill, so the motion has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members-elect. The motion carries, and the Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 153 is adopted. Senator Knutson.
Mr. President, if there's no further business before us at this time, I would move that we recess until 3 o'clock. The time estimates as to when the general appropriations bill will be ready for action by the House, quite frankly, range from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. But I'm, in a burst of optimism, would ask that we recess until 3 p.m.
Second. Moved and seconded that we recess until 3 o'clock. Any remarks? Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Any announcements? Senator Heideprin?
Thank you, Mr. President. There will be a joint Democrat caucus at the House Democrats caucus room at 2 o'clock today.
Any further announcements? Seeing none, we'll be in recess until 3 p.m. The Senate will come to order. We begin with messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Bill 1300, which has passed the House, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Karen Gerdes, Chief Clerk.
First reading of House Bills.
House Bill 1300. An act to appropriate money for the ordinary expenses of the legislative, judicial, and executive departments of the state, the expenses of state institutions, interest on this public debt, and for common schools.
Second reading of House Bills.
House Bill 1300, an act to appropriate money for the ordinary expenses of the legislative, judicial, and executive departments of the state, the expenses of state institutions, interest on the public debt, and for common schools.
House Bill 1300 has had a second reading. It's now for final consideration. Any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the Senate. First, I want to begin by thanking my members of the Senate Appropriations Committee for their tireless commitment to the process whereby we have produced House Bill 1300 on this floor today. When we came here 39 days ago, some came as new senators and others as seasoned legislators. We all came for a vision for what we believe to be the legislative priorities of the session. As we all know, visions tend to change or be altered the further we get into the session. We also were faced with a failing economy that was presented in one light in December, and then again in January, more reality was put before us that revenues were going to continue to decline, unemployment increase, and we were charged with the task of eliminating and or reducing the funding for programs. At about the same time, the federal government was preparing a plan to respond to a failing economy. So on one hand, cuts had to be made because we had been overspending in the sense that revenue was not coming in to support state government, and we were continually drawing down from the taxpayers' property tax relief fund. We had overspent, not for the wrong reasons, but for the programs that were believed to be priority, to educate our children, stimulate the economy, keep our young people in South Dakota, and taking care of those who could not take care of themselves. The fund was projected to be used up, we had overspent, and now we faced a deficit. The stimulus package presented a bridge that would take us from today to fiscal year 11, but it is only one-time funding. With that came strings for program uses and extensive compliance reporting. The frustrations of not knowing how the dollars could be used delayed the process. As with all of us, any time we have time constraints that come into play, people can tend to become cautious because they are not comfortable making quick decisions on large sums of dollars. Thank you to the Appropriations Committee. We moved over those obstacles to present to you fiscal year 10 budget. We have adopted a budget which meets our basic needs of educating our children, taking care of those who cannot take care of themselves, protecting the public from those who would do us harm. We were able to balance both the fiscal year 09 and the fiscal year 10 budget without using reserve funds. We have been able to enhance our general fund revenues by nearly $5.6 million. Of the $46 million proposed in cuts in the governor's revised recommended budget, $38.4 million has remained in place. We are taking advantage of almost $385 million in stimulus funds from the federal government in fiscal year 2010. Of the $385 million, $88.1 million will be used to help South Dakota balance its general fund budget. We started with the governor's proposed budget in January of $1,197,741,661 in general funds and $1.4 million in federal funds, $935 million in other funds, and $3.5 plus in total funds. We have adopted a budget of $1,127,819,469 in general funds, $1,853,072,972, and $938,670,146 in other funds, with a total of $3,919,562,591 in total funds. In these difficult economic times, we have risen to the challenge to provide the best service possible without major tax increases. General fund spending in the 2010 budget, excluding bonds, CRP, sale leasebacks, is broken down. Education is 51% at $602.4 million, taking care of people at $400.1 million, protecting the public, which is 11%, which is $130.9 million, and all the rest of state government, which is only 5% at $57.5 million. Major accomplishments, funding for K-12 school districts will be increased. We're going to restore all proposed reductions within the state aid formula, including increasing, decreasing enrollments and the Cutler-Gabriel provisions, as well as providing a 3% increase per student allocation. We're able to continue funding to sparse school districts, and we were able to restore the $1.8 million in general funds in birth to three. During the 2009 session, we are able to add improvements to the Department of Transportation in a total of $183 million that will be available for road projects in the state through fiscal year 2011. We are able to restore funding for Archaeological Research Center and the Division of Arts, as well as decrease $2 million in general funds in tourism by passing House Bill 1072. Funding was restored to the South Dakota School for the Deaf with the understanding we will continue to evaluate the best way to serve those who are hearing impaired. Funding was restored for continuation of the state fair. Authority was granted GF&P for implementation of the James River Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. We also have improvements to the Department of Social Services to continue funding for adult dental, chiropractic services, and primary care case management. The Department of Health received $5 million to expand health information technology throughout the state. We were able to restore traumatic brain injury program within the Division of Rehabilitation Services. We've established a budget for the South Dakota Ellsworth Authority with the Department of Tourism and Development. And unfortunately, though, we were not able to provide increases for providers and state employees in the fiscal year 10 budget. This session was especially difficult because in cuts that were made to programs, those programs directly impacted people, and people are who we serve and represent. We continue to face a challenging economy. Unemployment numbers released today indicate growth in them. In fact, my home community of Yankton has the highest rate in unemployment, over 6%. Tough times call for tough decision making, and that is what this budget is all about. We are accountable to the people of South Dakota. The state's resources are people and tax dollars. We need to always remember who our employers are. South Dakotans are rooted in values that hard work, service to each other, and wise use of resources make the difference. We have put forth a general bill that directs us to redirect our financial resources to support our priorities, live within our means, and sustain our economic efforts during this transition to a resounding economy. Thank you, members of the Senate, and I ask for your support for passage of House Bill 1300.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Senator Bartling.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the body. Today I'd like to begin by, number one, thanking Chair Hunhoff and Vice Chair Haverly for their leadership as we sat through very long weeks of putting together a budget. Their leadership was essential in order to come to the part that we are at today. I also want to thank the other Senate appropriation members that I have served with, Senators Allers, Brown, Hunstead, and Northstrup. This is my seventh year on appropriations, and I will say that it is a fine Senate appropriation committee, even though they think they can read my mind. But I also want to thank the LRC staff and the secretaries and to our appropriation interns. It was without their perseverance in our working relationship we would not have made it through this very difficult and timely process. Senator Hunhoff has addressed the pertinent parts of the bill as far as where we are at with general fund appropriations as well as federal and other funds. Through deliberative thoughts and debates, we utilize stimulus dollars, thanks to the Obama administration and to our Congress, and through revenues generated through fee increases, which we may or may not have supported, but they were used to balance our fiscal year 09 and our fiscal year 10 budget. In the governor's budget address on January 22nd, his second budget address, he proposed that we would see one-time revenues and some budgetary cuts to help balance the budget. However, we did not see those. And so where we are today is we do now have a property tax reduction fund with $63.6 million in it and a budget reserve fund of $43 million and $65 million remaining stimulus dollars to come to South Dakota to help us in the ensuing years. And so this is a budget that tugs at my heart. I support so many pieces of it, but there are so many more things that we could have done, and I struggle with it, as I know we all do. But I will leave that to some others to discuss and to debate today on the merits of this bill. But I do want to thank you all for your generosity throughout this session. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Senator Haverly.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I'm going to keep my comments short for Representative B.J. Nesselhoff. He asked me to do that today, and by God, I'm going to do it, B.J. I'll tell you this, too. And thank you to my fellow appropriators. We had an up and down year. Normally it's hard when we have money because we fight over every penny. And this year going into session, I was telling people, it's not going to be very hard because there's no money out there. Well, I didn't know about that little thing called the stimulus package and how much effect it would have on people. We're able to bridge to the future with the stimulus money. And I say a bridge, as many of you have heard, because of the deep recession, a lot deeper than most economists thought even a month ago was going to happen. But we need to prepare ourselves not for the next couple of years, but the couple of years after that. That's where I have genuine concerns. And it's going to mean making tough decisions, not only this year like we have, but tough decisions for the next couple of years. Because the deficit will continue to grow if we allow it to, and we won't have the money to cover it at the end of the stimulus package. Many of you know the size of the stimulus package on a national level, and you also may realize that it will go deep into generations to pay it back. To say that it wasn't needed, I'm not going to judge that, because at some point, we would have ended up at the same place a couple of years down the road. It's just, could we protect our citizens along the way? And I think that is one thing the stimulus package has allowed us to do. We've got to maintain vigilance when it comes to spending. We just need to. And that's what I would ask you all to remember as we vote on this general bill, and I would hope that you can support it wholeheartedly. I think everybody's heart was in the right place, and sometimes we have issues that we disagree with, but those issues usually are focused on the same type of an outcome at the end of the day, and I hope we all can remember that when it comes to the general bill. I would ask you to support the general bill wholeheartedly, and again, thank you to my fellow appropriators. I see the signal there, Representative, or Senator, and ask you to support it with a positive vote. Thank you, members of the Senate.
Further remarks? Senator Rollers.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. I'd like to thank my fellow appropriators. I'm a new member this year, and I appreciate Madam Chair and Vice Chair for welcoming me to this committee and for all their guidance, for Senator Bartling and Senator Hunstead's guidance. It has been greatly appreciated. I see Representative Putnam here. I'd like to thank him, too. Their guidance has been invaluable in this process. And I'd like to say I agree with a lot of the comments that were made today. We've done a lot of good things in this budget. We provided an extra 3% increase for K-12 education. We provided an increase for technical schools of 3%. And we've made some increases to the protection of our citizens. But I feel that there is an area that we have not done right by the citizens of South Dakota, and that's with taking care of the people of this state that can't take care of themselves. And with that, Mr. President, I have an amendment at the desk.
Senator Allers moves that House Bill 1300 be amended as follows. 1300 UAC.
Is there a second? Does any member not have 1300 UAC? Readings waived. Senator Allers on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I speak to the amendment and the bill?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. This amendment will provide a 1.5% provider inflation for Medicaid. What that will amount to is $4,759,556 of general funds. You might ask, how can we afford this? Well, throughout the process, we've had many proposed reductions in general fund spending. We've had proposed cuts to travel. Just the increases in travel alone between 2009 and 2010, cutting that in half, just half the increase, would have been $3.2 million. We've had recommendations for reductions in personal services, reductions to state legislative travel, reductions to the central office personal services budget. Many reductions were offered. All these reductions that I mentioned failed. So how do we provide for this? Well, there are three ways that we can provide for this $4.7 million. The first, when we went back into appropriations, we adopted a more conservative revenue estimate. There could be increased revenues in this state. Unlikely, but possible. When we adopted a more conservative estimate, it made it much more likely. We have unidentified reversions. The governor, in his budget in December and January, proposed reversions to the state budget that have not been identified yet, nor have been brought forth. We also have $63.6 million in the Property Tax Reduction Fund. These are three options to fund that $4.7 million. In the governor's original budget, he proposed a 1.5% increase to the provider inflation for Medicaid. That was before we even knew that there was a stimulus package coming. Now, you can argue that we gave a rebasing for some of our health care providers. And, ladies and gentlemen, I wish that would do as much as I would like to see happen, but it's a very small amount. It's based on the 2007 budget for these people. They're still already two years behind in costs, inflationary costs. We have not done enough. These dollars, this $4.7 million, will go to any provider that accepts Medicaid. Not only is this a benefit to the provider, but it's a benefit to the people of South Dakota that receive these Medicaid services. I'd like to talk a little bit about the providers first. And I'm going to talk about an area of the providers that is close to my heart. And that has to do with our nursing home and long-term care providers. This year, in Senate Bill 36, we raised the fees on these folks, in many cases tripling their fees. But today, in this budget, we offer no increase in Medicaid coverage. Folks, these facilities are stretched to the max, and you can only stretch a rubber band so far before it breaks. Long term, we're going to see an increase in our elderly population in this state. Right now, it's about right around 40%, but as the baby boomers move in, that will escalate up, and over 60% of our population will be elderly and need care. If we cannot provide for them now, how will we provide for them in the future? That's the question I pose to you today. These folks in these industries do the dirty jobs that nobody else wants to do. They work hard every day. I know these people. My mother was one of these folks that works in this industry. My mother-in-law works in this industry. And they work hours that they don't even get paid for. They volunteer their time to take care of these people because the money is not there to provide for the necessary number of employees to get the care that these people deserve in South Dakota. They're donating time at this point. I mean, how much more do we have to ask of these folks? How little can we give them before it breaks, before we have a collapse in this area of the care of the people of South Dakota? And more importantly, we need to think about the people that receive care via these dollars. These are the people that will suffer the most, because these will be the people that are not getting the proper care because there aren't the people there to care for them. We need to think about that. Today, it's real easy for us to vote no on this and say, doesn't affect me. I don't have anybody that's not going to benefit from this increase. But someday that's going to be you, and someday that's going to be me that may need those services. And we have to ask ourselves, the future legislatures of South Dakota, what do we want from them? How do we want them to help provide and take care of us? So, in summation, I ask that you think about that when you make your decision today, because we can do better as a legislature, and we can do more for the people of South Dakota.
Further remarks on the amendment? Senator Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, this budget represents a lot of hard choices. I think all of us understand the challenges faced in healthcare. We're looking at some of our major hospital systems and healthcare systems reducing employee compensation. I think we all know that the nursing home industry is probably in tougher shape than the hospital side of the healthcare industry. I think we understand our social service agencies are in a tough shape as well. But this budget is, in fact, a budget that recognizes the state of South Dakota is in tough shape. We're actually anticipating going backwards in our revenues. This budget ultimately has a gap of $88 million between what we're taking in ongoing revenues and what we're spending in ongoing expenses. This is a challenge that the stimulus money gives us some time to respond to. We're obviously making a start on that as we're making, I think, $37 million of cuts from Governor Round's proposed December budget. We understand these are difficult times. I think you can look at what we did for schools this year. Because of the maintenance of effort requirement, we gave schools a 3% increase in the per pupil amount. Some other programs, such as TCAP and the Career and Tech Ed, were eliminated. But we know that schools, under the maintenance of effort, got 3% in the per pupil amount this year. We also know that the time period that by which that formula measures inflation next year stands a reasonably good chance of producing a zero for schools. This year we've got a 0% increase for medical providers and social services providers and for state employees. Next year it seems likely that the schools will be in that 0% increase. I think you know how deeply I care about education, and that's a very painful prospect, but I think it's a reasonably likely one to occur. I think that will, with that situation in the future next year for education, we stand some ability potentially to do something for providers in the fiscal 2011 budget that we will look at when we come back next year. The sad truth of the matter is we just do not have the resources to make this 1.5% increase to our medical and social service providers this year, and I would urge the body to vote no on this amendment.
Further remarks? Senator Heideprim.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate. Well, the eyes of the nation are truly on South Dakota this afternoon. We are the first state in the union to take the stimulus package and apply it, and we will be judged by how we do that today. I am reminded of some comments made by someone that I've always respected, the minority leader now in the House of Representatives in Washington, John Boehner, who stood before the Congress to say that he had only had the 1,200-page bill that contained the stimulus package for 3 days, and no one had really read the bill, and how could we possibly make a reasoned decision about it. I regret that we haven't had more time to judge the stimulus package that has come down to us. I really think we could have done a better job in terms of the process we followed, but that is a debate for another day and not for today. But I did think of a way to illustrate the point I want to make about the choices we face. And if I could, Mr. President, I would ask the indulgence of the chair to address both the Ahlers Amendment and the bill itself.
That's granted.
Thank you, Mr. President. I owe this to Senator Dempster, who you'll recall early in the session, in response to my attempt to persuade you to use part of the budget surplus to pay for some of the special appropriations, and he produced two glasses and suggested to you that the amount of money was not significant, and in fact, it was simply a process of using state taxpayers' dollars. And so I've taken the liberty of, again, just as Senator Dempster did, producing two glasses. One of them I've labeled Property Tax Reduction Fund, and it is full. The other one I've labeled Neediest, and it is empty. And I mean to suggest to you today that the choice we make in the Ahlers motion to amend is as simple as whether we should take a small portion, perhaps $4.7 million, out of the $107 million we have stockpiled in this fund for the neediest among us, which is empty. What have we learned from our recent past in the way that the citizens of our nation will judge the way we treat something like the stimulus? We all watched as the Bush stimulus package that sent $700 billion to Wall Street ended in criticism of the banks. And what was the nature of the criticism? The nature was that the banks did not use those funds to stimulate the economy. They didn't loan the money in communities. They used it for other purposes, for which they were rightly criticized and condemned. Judging our own behavior through that same prism, how can it be said that putting $107 million in the Property Tax Reduction Fund, marooning it there, is going to stimulate any community's economy in the state of South Dakota? So what are we doing in House Bill 1300? Well, I suggest to you that we are taking the money for stimulation of the economy and putting it into a savings account where it will stimulate nothing, where no one will use those funds. It will not turn over in the small towns and in the hardware stores throughout South Dakota. Instead, we will save it for a rainy day. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, that is not the purpose for which these funds were intended. I suggest to you, that's my position. If you have a different position, I would enjoy hearing how it is you think the stimulus package is fulfilled by putting that money in the savings account. And to the suggestion that difficult decisions have been made this legislative session, well, I would beg to differ. We started out this session broke. We then ended up flush. And it seems to me the main decisions made by the Appropriations Committee, and I among you have great respect for them, has been where to sprinkle the stimulus money, and nothing more than that. Unfortunately, too much of it went into the bank account and not into the Main Street account. This package was designed to jumpstart our economy. We really need to ask ourselves that in the absence of something like the Ahlers Amendment, are we achieving that goal? You know, it's often been said that a people will be judged by the way in which they treat the neediest among them. And that's true for us, too. And we'll be judged by that standard. And all I mean to suggest to you is that there's a better way to use this fund that is full than to simply save it for another year. The real question is, who owns this property tax reduction fund? Sometimes I think there is a sense that it is owned by state government or by an administration or by the legislature. And in fact, we all know when we think about it, this fund is owned by the people of South Dakota. It is their asset, not ours. It is an asset owned just as much by someone in an adjustment training center, by someone who is cared for in an adjustment training center, by any other ordinary citizen in the state of South Dakota. We need to ask ourselves whether we are taking that asset and deploying it in the best interests of the people of South Dakota. The way we treat those employees in a place like an adjustment training center is a direct reflection of how we value the people they care for. And I ask you, if giving them absolutely no increase at all is how we want to be known in the 2009 legislature. We came into this session with $43.5 million in our budget reserve account. We have now added to our savings. We haven't used them. We've added. We are now saving more than we had when we started this legislative session by several million. Is it too much to ask that we take $4.7 million, leverage it so that we almost double the federal dollars available, and show the world how South Dakota cares for its neediest? I would ask you to join me in supporting the Ahlers Amendment and then supporting the budget.
Further remarks on the Ahlers Amendment?
Mr. President.
Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Permission to speak to the amendment in the bill.
Yes, that's granted.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. You know, I don't think there's anybody on this floor that's more passionate for health care than I am. And at this time, I'm going to have to stand up here, and I'm going to ask you to say no to the amendment and pass the bill. As I've listened to the dialogue of all the speakers, and certainly we're all visioning for the same point, and that is we want to serve the people of South Dakota. But the dilemma here is the comments that are being made is that we're stockpiling our money. Now, I'm a simple nurse. I'm not a mathematician or anything. But I know when I came here in January or even in December, the remarks were, we're going to have to use everything up in the property tax relief fund. That was going to be our basis, plus we were looking at 30 million plus cuts along the way. Well, now as we're just told, we're at 63 million where we started at. So we're really not stockpiling. What we're doing is we're taking those stimulus dollars and we're putting them to use, to the use that the federal government is telling us that we have to use them. Now, it's telling us that we have to, for example, put $20 million in a weatherization program that basically says everybody in South Dakota that's of that income level can have their home weatherized. That's great. Absolutely positive. Would we do that in a normal season? Probably not, because we'd have other priorities out there. And so we're forced to use those dollars. And the point is they're only one-time dollars. Now, that's just like my great aunt dies and she leaves me $1 million. It's only going to be there one time, and I'm largely in debt and I've got to cover, so I'm going to make the decisions how to use it, and it's going to have to last me for a very long period of time. So we've been able to use those stimulus dollars, and we've been able not to have to go into that property tax relief fund because they've replaced general fund dollars. Is that a bad idea? Absolutely not. What are we telling our taxpayers for after 2011? What more cuts? Do you want to hear those people come before you with the social programs and say, we have to cut you more? We're now going to have to tell, you're not even going to get a 0% increase. We're going to give you a minus 2. Is that what we want to do? We don't know what we're going to be facing with. And what we're trying to do is create a bridge with those stimulus dollars. But they have wonderful enhancements that we're going to have to consider. And we're going to have to take back at the end of those 9 quarters when they're gone. Then what do you tell the taxpayer of South Dakota? We've our property tax relief fund, we're going to have some money there that's going to help us along the way. But if we don't plan for that, then we're going to go back and we're going to say, you didn't like me when I was asking for more revenues this year. You're certainly not going to like me next year if I have to come back. And the taxpayer of utmost is not going to like us. This is tough. I feel bad we can't do the providers, but I also want to say we did the process. And the process is, yesterday in appropriations, we voted on the amendment. And yes, this body divided the vote, and we passed a 0.5 for providers. But the problem was the other house didn't do that. And so that was the end. That was the process that was used. If every time we don't agree with that process, we're going to bypass, then we really have no intent to be on appropriations or have the committee, because this entire body wants to make that decision. I would like us to respect that process. I would like us to consider what we are doing for our taxpayer in South Dakota. We're using our dollars wisely. We're preparing for that time when we don't have to hit them with great tax increases or more revenue increases. This was a fast process, but I believe it was a thought-out process, and I would hope you would give consideration to that, defeat the amendment, and pass the bill. Thank you.
Further remarks? Seeing none, the question is the Ahlers Amendment. Senator Heider-Prim moved for roll call. Is he supported? He is supported. Question is the Ahlers Amendment. Those in favor of the amendment say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdallah? Adelstein?
No.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown? Dempster?
No.
Brisley?
No.
Gant?
No.
Garnos? Gillespie?
No.
Ray?
No.
Hanson Tom?
No.
Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
No.
Heider-Prim?
Aye.
Howie?
No.
Unstead? Unhoff, Gerstead,
aye.
Locek,
aye.
Knutson,
no.
Maher,
aye.
Merchant,
aye.
Miles,
aye.
Nelson,
no.
Nesselhoff,
aye.
Nordstrup,
no.
Olson,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Roden,
no.
Schmidt,
no.
Heason,
no.
Trebek Berry, Valley, Mr. President, there are 15 ayes, 20 nays.
So the motion has failed to receive an affirmative vote of a majority of the members present. The motion fails. Further remarks on House Bill 1300? Senator Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I need to, I think, provide a little perspective on a couple of comments. First, Senator Heider-Prim suggests that in the neediest cup, there is nothing. Well, just looking at the Human Services, Department of Human Services budget and the Department of Social Services budget, those are not departments that serve the wealthiest part of our state. We are spending $349 million of general funds in those two departments alone. We're spending $1.1 billion total in those two departments alone. The neediest cup is not empty. South Dakota does what it can within our resources for our lower income people. I don't think it is fair to suggest that we have $106 million in this reserve and nothing for the needy. We are spending $1.1 billion in two departments alone. Second, I think you just need to keep the numbers in perspective. We'll have roughly $106 million in total reserves between the Property Tax Reduction Fund and the Budget Reserve Fund. In fiscal 2009 that we're in the middle of, and next year, we're anticipating using $160 million of federal stimulus money, one-time federal stimulus money. In other words, our $106 million is basically about 15 months worth of our current gap between revenues and expenses. We have big challenges ahead of us. This is a responsible budget. I think the Appropriations Committee did a wonderful job in trying to balance a large number of competing interests and making difficult decisions.
Further remarks? Senator Heider-Prim?
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I, too, want to provide some perspective. My friend Senator Knutson suggests that because the number is large that we spend in two departments that deal with the neediest, that is somehow sufficient. It's not. It's large, but so are the needs in both of those departments. And typically we would increase the amount we make available to take care of those needs, but not this year. Why? Because we're facing a budget crisis? No, we aren't. The choice really before us is whether we will end this session with $106.5 million in those two reserve accounts or $102.8 million in those two reserve accounts. And the choice apparently of the majority is that it's so important that we have 106.5 that it is better that the neediest among us go without any increase. And I simply disagree with that. This budget represents a lost opportunity for the people of South Dakota who need our attention the most. And I can't support it. Thank you.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question is House Bill 1300. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdallah? Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling? Bradford? Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie? Ray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom?
Aye.
Hanson Gary? Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
No.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
No.
Hunhoff? Durstead?
No.
Klocek?
Aye.
Knutson? Maher?
No.
Merchant?
No.
Miles?
No.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
No.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt? Eason?
Aye.
Trebek Berry? Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 25 ayes, 10 nays.
So the question has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect, and House Bill 1300 is adopted. Members of the Senate, the following bills have passed both houses of the legislature. I'm signing them in your presence. House Bill 1079, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the sex offender registry. And House Bill 1237, an act to make an appropriation to fund certain property and sales tax refunds for elderly persons and persons living with a disability, to make an appropriation to fund sales tax on food refunds, and to revise the eligibility requirements for the sales tax on food refund program.
What do you have, Bob?
We'll take up a report of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that Senate Bill 42 was delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 4:45 p.m. March 13th, 2009. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Moved and seconded that we adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We're adjourned.